Welcome back to All Villages. Again, we're so glad you joined us. Pray that God would encourage you again in faith, hope, and love in Him, and know again of what it means to stand firm in His love this day. Before we go any further, though, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this moment, being gathered together in Your name, wanting to dig into Your word for what You have for us. And we pray, Lord, that You would take all our struggles, all the things that have been we've been carrying and the things that we've been maybe worrying about, struggling with, and we would turn them over to You. That we would know the truth of what it means to truly just let You have all our anxiety, all our stress, everything, and experience Your peace. Thank You again for this time. Thank You for what You're doing. We pray again, Your will be done, first and foremost, in our lives and in Your world. In Your name, amen. Well, again, thanks for joining us. We've been going through several months now, this last year, going through various books of the Bible, and specifically in the New Testament, I like to say part two of what God has been doing. And in that, we've been going through various things, from some of the stories, the accounts of Jesus, to what did other people have, you know, to say and do in this, whether it be the book of Acts, the beginning of the church, and then looking at several of Paul's letters, the Apostle Paul. Wrote several wonderful letters for us that really are helpful for us to know who is God, what is He doing, what was accomplished in Jesus, how does that relate to our lives, and again, now how do we now live that out and lean into it? And we're going to be looking at how, again, God wants us to grow up in Him, and it doesn't happen automatically, but through His grace and through us leaning in and surrendering more, that you don't have to worry about trying to figure it all out. We want to wrestle. We want to have, you know, really work through our logic and our reasoning and make sure it's sound, of course. But in this, know that all we can do is make ourselves available and let the Lord do the rest. And so we're going to be looking at the second part of Philippians today, chapters 3 and 4. And Philippians, again, written by the Apostle Paul, one of the things that just blows my mind away when I read Philippians is that, again, he wrote it down. We think there was a couple times where he was in prison, and as he was writing it, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen. They didn't provide food for you or anything like that, so you had to really rely on others to come and you know, support you, provide for your needs. But this was this church in Philippi, a beautiful area, a wonderful, wonderful part of Macedonia, and in there you can just really appreciate what was there. It wasn't as large as, say, Corinth or some of the other Colossae or anything like that, but it was a pretty happening place, and there were several temples that were located there, and it had markets and marketplaces and so on. It was an important place, actually, even for the early church. This church that's doing so well that Paul is talking to and trying to encourage is just like growing in leaps and bounds. And they actually helped launch a movement in Philippi for several hundred years. And so it's a really awesome kind of just point we can kind of say, whoa, we know God was doing some great work there, and it's exciting to see that. But some key things I mentioned last week, but it's still very, very relevant that we need to remember, is the fellowship. And fellowship, again, is that community with a mission. It's not just coffee and donuts. It's truly a community of faith, a church. That's what church means, by the way. A community of faith in the name of Jesus, serving others. And so he's talking about what it looks like to have good fellowship. And he gives several really good points of teachings, but also just kind of like, hey, have you ever considered this, or kind of thing. And in addition to that, we see in chapter 3 about how we are, again, citizens of the Lord, that He is the one true King. He is the Son of God. Those were the Son of God and Lord would have been used in the Greek world, in the Roman world, to describe Caesar. And so Paul takes those, even though he's in shackles over this, he's bold and he says, hey, this is truly the Son of God. We are citizens of heaven. And heaven, again, is the place where God dwells and his kingdom is coming. And so he's just trying to say, listen, it's absolutely, we're blessed to have the government and the leaders. We need to pray for them. We need to submit to them. But first and foremost, we follow the Lord first. And then just a constant theme. We have this beautiful picture last week I shared about this of humility, of what Jesus gave up, of what his life was like, and a challenge and a call for us to continue in that same way. To humble ourselves, to even in one aspect, he says, consider others more important than yourself. It doesn't mean that you don't think much of yourself. It doesn't mean you have a bad self-image. It doesn't mean you're a doormat. No, what he's saying is in Christ, serve others. In Christ, trust that the Lord is enough for you. You don't have to push your chest out. You don't have to lift yourself up and say, hey, look at me, look at me. Following Jesus, we are all about declaring his greatness, his glory, and in celebrating what God's doing in other people's lives. It doesn't cost you a thing to say, great job, or that was fantastic. I'm so glad that you experienced that, or something. You know, celebrate with others and so on. But it takes a humility for sure. And so Philippians is wanting us to see that we're to flourish in him. We're to continue, not just as that little sprout and we're done, but to continue to flourish and again point to the sky, to the Lord. And so I just wanted to kind of a key verse. This is the first verse I ever memorized in Scripture with my mom. I think it was a junior in high school. And here I'm just starting to read this thing called the Bible, and like, this stuff's like amazing. Like, and I was reading the Gospels, the four different accounts, and reading Paul's letters, and sometimes Paul can be a little hard to kind of wrap your mind around, but it's so crucial for us to keep working on it, do the hard things with him. And this verse, I hope it lands well for you. I hope it's something that you put a footmark in your Bible, highlight it, write it down, memorize it as well. It's such a beautiful verse, and so I hope it encourages you. It says, always be full of joy in the Lord. Always, all right? I underline that because it's like, be full of the joy of the Lord when you feel like it, right? Be full of the joy of the Lord when people that are religious come around. No, it doesn't say that. Be full of the joy of the Lord when you win the lottery. No, it's none of that. It's always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Celebrate, right? It's this word that we should be known as Christians for how we do rejoice. He's of course talking about us personally, but he's also talking to this church, okay? This church in Philippi that he's like, listen, you need to have like a public celebration. You need to think of a great festivals and how they can just take over a city or take over a block, and they could go from morning to night or over several days or several weeks. There, he's has this kind of this kind of thought in the back of this, and so rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. It doesn't mean that everything is good or perfect in your life. Remember, Paul is in jail. Okay, things aren't going well when it comes to what the world would say. He is hoping for a fair hearing. He doesn't know. He's trusting the Lord for sure, but he does know he's got an opportunity to encourage churches, encourage those who are following the Lord. And he's like, listen, no matter what, celebrate in the Lord. And what I have found is we can stand firm in the Lord when we celebrate in the Lord. No matter what we face, we'll have the strength when we stop. Sometimes it's a cry in the night. Sometimes it's the discipline of getting up early and just making yourself available and being still before the Lord. Sometimes you might go to a Christian concert or a service you gather in, and the Lord just touches you, and you just know, man, I need to celebrate. I need to praise him. I need to thank him. I need to let others know again how great he is. But again, it starts with us privately, individually, getting our hearts and celebrating with him. Let's go on. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. That word considerate, kind, generous, good, okay? Let everyone see. It's kind of crazy to say that, right? He's not saying get a big head and do this so everyone will gonna give you a nice little pat in the back or anything like that. No, he's trying to lay out like, listen, your life should be an example to others, kind of thing, right? Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Your gentleness should be known, kind of thing. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Remember, the Lord is near. I mean, remember that the Lord is actively involved in your life and in my life. And he knows what we're doing and how we're doing it, whether we're making wise choices, unwise choices, whether we have pure thoughts or impure thoughts. What are we focused in on? And he's not, again, looking for this exuberance, like, this, you know, that leads or turns into, like, just an extrovert being enthusiastic, and it squashes all those who maybe are sensitive or offends those who are quiet by nature, kind of thing, you know, those introverts and stuff like that. He's not saying just, hey, if you're not into big, large, you know, festivals, then you're not doing it right. No, he's saying, listen, it's you need to have this joy and gentleness. He kind of like almost like, kind of like it balances it, right? He's like, you need to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. But let everyone see that you're considerate in all you do. So he's like, you know, celebrate the Lord, but be mindful of others. You know, be considerate when it comes off. And I just wanted to say this, just you need to show off. Show off your joy. Show off your gentleness, your kindness. Show off. And it's in the joyful and gentle. That's where we have these, that we can really anchor our prayers that helps us overcome what we're going to see in this next slide. It says, don't worry. Now, he's just talking about celebrating the Lord. Be kind, be gentle to others, let others see that. And now he's saying, don't worry about anything. This is, again, a bold statement. Celebrate, rejoice in the Lord, always be full of it, full of the joy, and I don't want you to worry about anything. Again, he's in jail. Like, don't forget that. That's crucial. Instead, pray about everything. Everything that you're struggling with. Lord, I don't know what to do about this, or I don't know how to handle that, or I don't want to do this. I remember at a season in my life where I talk a lot about, how, again, being filled up by God's like reservoir, being available to him, because I, for a season, just was scraping off the bottom of the barrel. There wasn't any collection of water. I was just trying to give back what I heard someone else say or what I could muster up. And I remember being challenged by a gentleman. He's like, what do you do when you don't even care? Like, you don't, like, you're like, people are an inconvenience completely. Like, God brings them to you for you to encourage and bless and share your joy and show kindness and serve them and help them. And you're like, oh, what an interruption, right? And I was like, Lord, I'm in a bad place. Like, this isn't good. Now, this is years ago, okay, so don't panic or whatever. But it's crucial that you and I understand it, that our faith is something that it's where the rubber meets the road. It's not just something we ascribe to that at the end of our days when we are going to be with Jesus. It's not the thing where when everything is great in life, then don't worry about anything. He's writing again from the jail, telling this church, don't worry about the hardships. Instead, I love that word here, instead, pray about everything. He doesn't just say, don't worry. Be happy, right? He doesn't say that, like great old song back in the day. I don't know how great it was, but anyway, catchy for sure. It's not about pretending, no. He says, no, it's about praying. Don't worry, pray. When you're struggling, when you're feeling anxiety, when you're feeling overwhelmed, when you're feeling like you don't have what it takes or it's just too much, pray. Seek the Lord. Rest in him and find strength. Trust in him. Find salvation. Tell God what you think or what you need. Excuse me. Tell God what you need. I think that's crucial, right? He's not just saying, you know, just kind of go for it and see what happens. No, he's like, tell God what you need. I mean, give him your concerns. He wants to hear us. That should be blowing our minds. He wants to hear us. And then thank him. If there's something on your heart and you're struggling, give it to him. Lord, I just don't know what to do with this. I am so frustrated, or I'm just so overwhelmed, or I don't even know where to begin, or we've had this accident, we've had this accident, we've had this accident, whatever it may have been, and you're just like, is it ever going to end? It's not about, it's about us. Lord, you know all our challenges, all our struggles. Help us to trust you. And then thank him. It's amazing what God can do with a thankful heart. That's a good question, maybe just to take a pause for you right now. How thankful are you? Do you thank much? Are you thankful much? It's challenging it for sure when things aren't going well, right? And I refer to this a lot, being on the anvil, God's anvil. There's no better place when it comes to an anvil for sure. But the anvil of the Lord will help us be shaped and remade and renewed and be transformed. It's kind of like the boot camp to help us be prepared for what is ahead of us. And so the Lord is looking to again, grow us up. And he doesn't just do this, okay, now that you got your college degree, or now that you're married, or now that you have children. No, he has started doing this, believe this or not, from at your birth. And the challenges that you have faced, and don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to make light or over-spiritualize some of the pain you've experienced. Pain is real. And I am truly sorry if you've experienced the pain that could just take someone's life off the rails. But I am trying to tell you that you don't have to live that way anymore. That it's in Christ that we can trust him. That he can, not that he causes the pain, but he can use any pain. And he can use it to help us grow in him and experience his light, his love, his goodness, his joy. He continues, then you will experience God's peace. How about that, huh? That sounds pretty darn good. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. He understands that every area of our life is already claimed as God's. Now he's trying to help us lean into it, experience God's peace by taking those things that are causing us struggle and heartache and praying, turning it over to the Lord. And then he says, you're going to experience God's peace. This peace helps us know again of God's love. It gives us that strength. It's not just the absence of conflict, it's God's presence in our lives. His shalom is the Hebrew word for it. And so this peace helps us be able to navigate around these icebergs in our lives. That in our struggle, no matter what we're facing, don't worry about anything. Instead, seek the Lord, talk to him about it, pray about everything. And it's in those times that he will help us know how and where. And the challenge one of the great blessings of this peace is it's almost beyond words, right? This beyond understanding, this beyond what we can conceive of even, because it's like, there's no reason I should have peace at this point. I've experienced it. I know many people have experienced it. Throughout history, we have people in their journals and stuff like that in the church that have shared and said, and I had this peace. I had this warming in my heart. God is working in us, and a lot of times we just see our pain or our problems, and we miss that God is again helping us navigate, or he's using it to strengthen and stretch our faith muscles so that we can be ready, so that we can be encouraged, that we can know that he's doing what we need best in us. He's the ultimate coach, okay? He's preparing us for the big game. And it's about us surrendering and trusting him with that. So let's see how he does this. Ready? That his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Remember, this prayer isn't just that you're like, again, you know, no big deal, right? There's not a stoic lack of concern, but a deep peace in the middle of life's problems and storms. That when the icebergs come in your life and you're just, whoa, where do I go with, like, I can't even begin to see which way to even turn. This is what I'm talking about, that the peace will guard your hearts and minds, because you'll know he's not done. and he is working on our hearts. He'll guard it like a squadron of soldiers looking after a treasure chest. He's gonna watch over us. And here's what I have found is that, again, it's in these moments when we have sought the Lord, when we have surrendered, when we have said, Lord, I don't know what to do about this. We were real. We were honest. We were transparent. We turn it over and we experience his peace. Just overflows in us. But don't miss this. This peace isn't just this peace you can buy somewhere or someone can sing a nice song or something like that. That truly does is the peace he's talking about. It's living in Christ. It's knowing that we are found in him. Our life makes sense only in him. The only way that I can take my next step is because I know in him I can handle anything. In him, I know he's already working out things that I can't even fathom. And in him, you and I can experience peace. Be encouraged this moment, this day, that Christ is actively working in you. And it's about us remembering that we're in him. Just remember, it's about living in him and knowing he holds it all together. The final word comes right after verse 7. Verse 8 says this, fix your thoughts. So he's already, again, laid out what we need to be doing about trusting in the Lord in Christ, that we are in Christ, and that peace comes from Christ, okay, and us being in him. So he's given us something to actually now apply to help us get there quicker and easier. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Talk about, you know, really helping us to have the right focus, right? Fix your thoughts. Time and time again, I'm reminded in my life that if I aim at nothing, I'll hit it every time. But if I really try to focus in on something, it'll help me get rid of all the other distractions. It'll help me stay the course. And I just want to encourage you to fix your thoughts on the Lord. Fix your thoughts on knowing who our good Creator is and how he wants to live in you and through you, that we need to feed our mind with those things that will honor God. You know, how are you taking those steps to fill your mind? How are you, instead of with the things of the world, thinking things of the Lord, you know? And it's things that, this is just important for us to not forget, but fix your thoughts. Your homework, we're hitting a new letter known as 1 Timothy. And so we're going to be looking at 1 Timothy. It's got 6 chapters. I know it might sound like a lot because we only asked you to read 2 chapters last few weeks, but you can handle it. 6 chapters, you're going to have a day off even. A chapter a day, you'll be good. We hope it'll truly encourage you. I'm looking forward to it. Remember, by receiving the benediction, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there, and he has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this and go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Amen. God bless, and we look forward to seeing you all next week. Take care.